Well, good evening. As was mentioned, my topic that I was given is the Christian and his social life. Now, this is important, our social life, because it dictates all the relationships we have in our lives. This is everything from just our friendships, the people that we hang around, to our family, those who we're related to even your wife, your girlfriend, your husband, your boyfriend, anything like that. Our social life is dictated on, all these things are dictated on our social life, and if we have the ability to speak to people. Jesus tells us here in John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19, he says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." We are not to look like the world, and we're going to look at that here in a minute, but we are to look different from the world, and that's what Jesus is telling us here, and what he tells us in Matthew chapter 5, which we will look at here shortly. But the Christian, I'm guilty of this sometimes too, that we can often separate our spiritual life and our social life. We think that these are two different lives, and when in reality, that's the exact opposite. They are not too different. Our social life, like I said, dictates how we interact with those around us. And Jesus calls us there in Mark 16, verse 15, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. He tells us to go into all the world, to preach to all the people. And how can we preach to all the people if we don't have a social life? So I want to look at what it takes for us to be Christians and to go out into the world, and how we are to act when we have this in our social life, and how we are to act when we try and teach people the gospel. I mentioned it just a second ago, but if you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, here at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, right after the Beatitudes that Jesus speaks here in Matthew chapter 5, and in verse 13, he says this, Matthew chapter 5 verses 13 through 16. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and be trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the home. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Jesus here is telling us two things. He's telling us to be two different things. Number one, be the salt of the earth. Now, what is salt? Well, simply, it's a preservative. You use it to flavor things, flavor food specifically. Enhance the flavor, bring out the flavor, make it taste better, and to preserve things like meat. Without doing this, without its salt, Jesus says here, without its seasoning, its flavor, it's good for nothing but to be thrown out and be trampled on by men. Salt is used to preserve things, and Jesus tells us as Christians to be the salt of the earth. We are to be these preservers of this earth. We are to enhance the earth and to bring out the goodness of the earth. But he also says there in verse 14 that we are the light of the world. Now, light is very important. In fact, it's one of the most important things that we could have on this earth, physically. Without light, nothing can grow. Think of the plants. They need light to grow. They get their energy and their nutrients from the sun a lot of times. That's how they grow. And if they don't have that light, they cannot grow. Well, light itself, light dispels darkness, is what it does. And 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, John tells us that God is light, and in him there is no darkness, no darkness at all. God is light, and this is saying that God is good. Darkness is sin, and so in God there is no sin. God is all good. He's all light. And Jesus tells us to be the light of the world. We are to be that ray of good in an area which is full of bad, which is full of sin. We are to be these good things. But where? do we be the salt of the earth and the light of the world? Do we do it just on Sunday mornings, on Wednesday nights, and whenever we happen to be here at the building? Absolutely not. Jesus, he says, be the salt of the earth. Be the light of the world, not the salt of your home. Not the light of your home, but everywhere, the whole world. Everywhere you go, you are to be that one who brings out the good. The one that dispels the darkness, the bad. The salt of the earth, the light of the world. There's a song that is saying, it's a youth song. It's this little light of mine. We often use our fingers, but in that song, say, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. There's a verse that says, I'm not going to hide it. Another verse that says, I'm not going to let Satan it out. No, I'm going to let my light shine everywhere. In order for us to have a good social life, the best place for us to start is within ourselves. And within ourselves, we have to look at ourselves and say, am I the light of the world? Am I the salt of the earth? Because if you yourself are not living the way that Jesus commands us to live, then how can you teach others to live the way Jesus commands? You have to look at yourself before you can look at the rest of the world. The only way that people are going to see God is if they look at us and see God. You're not going to expect to hear the gospel from someone who doesn't live it. Because then you're going to think, well, why would I do what they say? Because they're not even doing what they say. You have to look at yourself before we can go into the world. Then after that, after we go into the world, how do we do this? How do we present ourselves as in the world and present the gospel to others? Well, we have to do it with love. We have to love one another. If you want to turn with me to John chapter 13 and verses 34 and 35, Jesus is speaking here to his disciples. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now Jesus here, he says the word love four times in these two verses. And each time this word love is used by Jesus, it is the word, the Greek word, agape. Now this is, there are four Greek words for the word love, for our English word love. Now you say love in English, and it can mean a various different things. I love you like a friend, I love you to my spouse, I love you, you know, there's different degrees of that. But in the Greek, there are four different words for the word love. And this one here is the word agape. This is the strongest love, what we call the sacrificial type of love. The love that tells us that I will do anything for you. And Jesus says here, he says that you will love others the way that I have loved you. You will go around and do to others anything that they need, because I have done everything I could for you. Jesus says in John chapter 15, just a couple chapters later, chapter 15 and verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus says that the greatest love that one can show is to lay down his life for his friends. And in the very next verse, verse 14, he tells us who are his friends. He says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Jesus says that the greatest love you can show is to lay down your life for those who are your friends. And Jesus, as we all know, the reason we are here is because Jesus did lay down his life for us. He laid down his life. He went to that cross. He didn't have to. He had every opportunity to stop it. We see that in Matthew when he tells Peter, he says, do you not know that I could call 12 legions of angels? I could stop this at any moment, but he didn't. Jesus laid down his life. And he says here that if you do what Jesus commands you, then you are one of the people that Jesus laid down his life for. This is the greatest love that you can have, is to lay down your life. This is why Jesus can tell us to love others as I have loved you. Because Jesus has loved us and he's proven that love. He didn't have to, but he did. So what is love? You can't talk about love without talking about what Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul is writing here. And he says in verse 2, the end of verse 2, it says, so that I could, I'm just going to read all of verse 2. It says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding, all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Paul says here that without love, we are nothing. Then he goes on, verses 4 through the beginning of verse 8, he tells us what love is. It says in verse 4, love suffers long. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Verse 8, love never fails. It goes on in that verse to say that these prophecies, these miracles, these things that we have are going to fail, but love never fails. He actually ends the chapter there in verse 13 by saying, Now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these, of faith, of hope, of love, the greatest of all these is love. Without love, Paul says he is nothing. And he shows us what love is, and then he says that love is the greatest. We all need to have faith in God. We all need to have that hope that God has promised us a place in heaven with Him. We all need to have that love. But those other two, faith and hope, they would be nothing if God didn't love us. So we have to have love. That is why Paul says that these are the greatest, that this is the greatest thing. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Now why am I telling you about love? Like, this doesn't seem like anything that would apply to our social life, but let's think about this. It's quite simple. When we go into the world, and we are the light of the world, and we are the salt of the earth, we are not going to look like those around us. So people are going to come up to us and ask us questions. Why do you not do these things? Why do you not talk the same way I do? Go to these places that I go to? And we got to answer those questions. How do you answer those questions? You answer them with love. You answer them in love, in the way that we answer these questions. We show them who we are through our love. In order for us to make a difference in people's lives, we have to have love. I want you to imagine with me a scenario. You're standing in line for something. Think about something. Whatever you're standing in line for, that's what you're standing in line for. And somebody walks to you and they cut in front of you in line. And they push you and they start cursing you out. And then 2 minutes later, they turn around and say, hey, you want to talk about God? Or are you going to want to listen to that person? Are you going to hear what this man has to say or this woman has to say about God? Now, what if you're standing in line and something happens and somebody's nice to you? They're being nice to you. They're not being rude. And then they say, hey, you want to talk about God? Which one of these two people are you more likely to talk about God with? The one who was kind, the one who showed love. In order for you to make a difference in your social life, you have to have love. But it's not it. Not just love, but you also have to be humble. Ask yourself, am I better than those around me? Am I better than the other people of this world? It's easy. It's not a hard thing. It's super easy for us to live this life occasionally thinking that you're better than somebody. Maybe not on purpose, but you look at somebody and you think, I'm better than that person. It's not a hard thought to have. However, Jesus calls us to be humble. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12, Jesus once again is speaking. And he says there to those who are listening, Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Just like we have to show others love, we also have to be humble about how we show them our love. So what is humility? Well, rather, it's not thinking less about ourselves, but it's thinking about ourselves less. We don't think about ourselves as often. We don't put ourselves first in everything we do, but we put others first in every possible chance we have. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10 and verse 49 that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. That's why Jesus came, was to serve others. And he shows that there in John chapter 13, when he's with the apostles there in the upper room at the Last Supper. And he gets down on his hands and knees and he washes their feet. Think about that. The Messiah, the one who came to save us from our sins, is down on his hands and knees washing the feet of those who followed him. Peter didn't like that at all. In fact, Peter said, "No, I'm not going to have you do that. You know who you are. Why would you wash my feet? In fact, I should be washing yours." And Jesus says, "Well, if I don't wash your feet, then you have no part in me." Jesus came not to be served by others, but he came to serve. He did so humbly, and that's what he calls us to do, is to serve and do it with humility. Who do we serve? Short answer, everyone. We serve everyone we can at every possibility, every possible chance. Imagine you see a woman walking out of Walmart as you're going in. She's walking out and she's carrying her grocery bags and one of them rips. And a bunch of things fall out. Now, you can think, I don't need to help this lady. I don't know who she is. She's not my mom, my sister, my whatever. I don't know who she is. I don't have to help her. I don't have to serve her in any way. Was that Christ-like? Absolutely not. Rather, what you're going to do is you're going to walk over to her and you're going to serve her by helping her pick up things. And then you're not going to say, "Well, I helped you, now give me some money." Because that's not doing so humbly. Doing so humbly is to serving this person and then saying, "Have a nice day," and seeing if she needs help and then walking on. You don't need to announce to others what you've done. But you just need to help and serve with humility. Our relationships at home, relationships at work, with friends, in public, wherever, these should all be based with a humble attitude. You must think of others before you think of yourselves. Turn with me to James chapter 4 and verse 6. James chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, talking about God, "But he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I don't know if it's because I'm nervous or anything. I don't know if I'm just talking super fast, but I'm already at my conclusion. A Christian social life is not based on how we interact with others, but rather it's based on also why we interact with others. The relationships we make in our lives make it easier for us to spread the gospel. It's easier to talk to a friend about Jesus than it is to walk up to a random person in public and talk to them about Jesus. The best way, the easiest way for us to do these things, for us to talk about Jesus, is to be different. As Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, Jesus calls us to be different. When you're different, people will notice. As I mentioned, people will ask questions. They're going to get curious. And so when they ask you these, "Hey, why do you not do these things?" you can answer them. And the way you answer them is with love and with humility. Not because you're told to do so. Not because Jesus says do these things. But because you should want to. You want to answer these questions with humility. You want to answer these questions in love. Because you care for that person's soul. And you wish for that person's soul to be right with God. We are called to look different from this world. We are called to love others as Christ loved us. And we are called to be humble and to serve others. Because it's what we want to do. We want to bring as many people to heaven as we can. And the way to do that, the easiest way to do that is to grow relationships in your social life. And the way to grow relationships is to do the things of God. To look like God. When people look at you, they should be able to see God. This evening, I want to give you the opportunity to ask yourself, to look at yourself and ask, am I looking, do I look like God? Do the people see me and see God? Am I having a social life that is bountiful for God? If the answer is no, then I want to give you that opportunity to repent of that, to pray to God as Peter says to Simon in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, to pray to God and repent that you be cleansed, you be fixed. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, he says, confess your sins and God will forgive you. Maybe you haven't put on Christ in baptism. You haven't done that. Well, I want to give you that opportunity as well. When asked, the apostles, they were asked, well, men and brethren, what do we do? There in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, Peter said, repent and be baptized, each one of you. You have to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. What does your social life look like? Are you showing people who God is by looking different? By being different, by acting in love and humility and serving others?